condo craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with Eric Glazer, the attorney from Glazer & Associates, PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in our studio. 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars. We're going to talk about that in a minute. This past Thursday was fantastic. You can also see who the show sponsors are. Two are with us again today. You can visit all of their websites. You could link to our Facebook page. Our fan page continues to grow and grow. You can link to our brand new HOA and condo blog at hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, mandatory education. You can also join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show week in and week out. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And as I was saying, Karen, what a great night this past Thursday was at our Condo Craze board member certification seminar. The place was packed. We had about 200 people get certified that night.
Wow.
So thank you to everyone who showed up to participate, including all of our sponsors. And we even had a panel this time of community association managers from Associa, Condominium Concepts, Affinity Management, and KW Management answer questions from the audience, and they gave everyone just so many great tips. And it really seems like everyone had a great time. And if any of you who attended the seminar this past Thursday are listening today, how about calling in? Let us know what you thought and whether or not you now believe that education should be required for all board members, including
yes.
even HOA members.
Instead of just reading those documents.
Signing that silly affidavit swearing that basically you read your documents and know everything. Waste of time. Come and get certified. All right, remember, again, Florida law provides that members of a condo board must get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board. And, in fact, you can even get certified 1 year before getting elected to the board. And one way of getting certified, take the Condo Craze Board Member Certification Course. It's the first course that was written by an attorney and that was approved by the Florida DBPR.
And that attorney would be you. And as Eric has now certified 3,000 Floridians who are now eligible to serve on a Florida Condominium Board of Directors, the course is fun. The course is free. And there's food served. You get to ask questions and you leave with a summary of everything you learned and a really nice frameable certificate.
Yeah, so definitely come learn about your duties as board members, learn about budgets, reserves, financial reporting, board meeting procedures, and so much more. You know, as many of the people know, we stand there literally all night taking questions. And as we said last time, we even added to this year some information about making material alterations to your common elements, competitive bidding, and emotional support animals. That is a hot topic. That got people kind of screaming and yelling during Thursday's performance. Yeah. So don't miss, again, a real great opportunity. And if you want to see some pictures of how it went down Thursday night, just visit the Facebook page for the show. And talk about the schedule for a moment. There's still a bunch of seminars you can actually sign up for. Next one, December 1st, 10 a.m. We're going to be at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Naples, Florida. On December 6th, we'll be back at the South Florida Cooperator Expo at the Broward Convention Center. December 15th, we'll be back in Orlando at the Holiday Inn at Universal Studios, and then we'll be back at the Hard Rock in Hollywood on January 24th. And believe it or not, people started registering already for the January 24th course. So,
wow.
Again, four more you can sign up for as we speak. And if you want to register for either the Naples, the South Florida Cooperator Seminar, Orlando, or Hollywood, just go to the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and fill out the form.
Well, last show we had Greg Winnick from the Best Roofing, from Best
Best Roofing as our guest, who told us all about how important it is to take care of your roof when it's not hurricane season. We spoke about the problems with our HOA elections, and we even spoke about a developer in the northern part of the state that was stealing tons of money from the association that he built.
Karen, you might have tripped up just now saying the word Best Roofing, but you can't do worse than what I did last week by introducing Greg from Breast Roofing.
Yeah, that was right.
That didn't go down too well. Yeah. So, all right. Well, because of the real estate crisis over the last few years, we often start the show with some bad news about a Florida city or county. But how about we start today by saying congratulations to three cities here in Florida who made it into the news for a good reason this time rather than a bad one. As many of you know, Money Magazine each year puts out a list of the top 100 best small cities in the United States. And this year, Weston, Florida made the list, the first Florida city, and came in at number 63. Two other Florida cities made the list, and that's Riverview, Florida, coming in at number 65, and Coral Springs, which came in at 94. Karen, you may ask, where's Riverview, Florida? Because I really didn't know where it was. And it's actually just south and east of Tampa. And by the way, Carmel, Indiana comes in at number one. Now, I've never been to Carmel, Indiana, but I'll bet you that in winter, 95% of all Americans would rather live in Weston, Riverview, or Coral Springs rather than Carmel. But for those of you who don't live in any of those Florida cities, you know, let's find out what you think. Do you think your city should rank ahead of Weston or Coral Springs or Riverview? And if you do think so, call in. Tell us why. You know, let's see some good old-fashioned, like we have in New York, my neighborhood is better than your neighborhood fighting on the show today. Give us a call, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And for those of you that live in Miami or Fort Lauderdale, you guys are going to really sit back and let Money Magazine tell the world that Weston and Coral Springs are better than you? I hope not. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. But now that we got the good news out of the way, let's kind of get back to reality here in Florida. And this particular statistic that we're going to talk about actually hurts, really bad news for the economy. Turns out that there was a sharp increase in South Floridians filing for bankruptcy in the month of October, according to records released by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Miami.
Consumer filings jumped nearly 19% in October.
Yeah, and according to one attorney who practices a lot of bankruptcy law here in South Florida, last month, lots of families began getting final foreclosure notices, which prompted them to file for bankruptcy. And lenders who had earlier halted their foreclosures because of what we keep talking about on the show, that robo-signing scandal.
Yeah, Linda Green.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's Linda Green, vice president. After the banks got caught, they kind of put their foreclosures on hold. Well, lenders are now moving forward with their foreclosures all over again.
Well, in fact, Broward, Palm Beach, and Miami-Dade all showed increases in bankruptcy filings, and a total of about 2,500 people filed for bankruptcy in those counties in October.
Yeah, now, lots of associations that Glazer and Associates represent oftentimes call us and tell us that a unit owner or two in their community filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy or Chapter 13 bankruptcy, and the association hasn't been paid a dime in months or even years. And, of course, we get these calls from associations we don't represent, too. And they were under the impression, a lot of associations are, that once somebody files for bankruptcy, there's absolutely nothing that the association can do to go about collecting what's owed to them. And we have to tell them, you're wrong. So just to kind of give everybody a little bit of a primer today on bankruptcy law, just let's listen up and we'll talk about the differences between the various chapters. And when you're dealing with individuals, basically you can expect them to file either for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy or a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. And in a Chapter 7, the debtor is basically telling the court they're broke, they're willing to liquidate their assets, but they get to keep whatever exempt property they're entitled to keep, and certain things that might be exempt are things like some personal property, $1,000 worth of equity in a car, your retirement accounts, and whatever you built up in your life insurance account. Again, that's under a Chapter 7. Chapter 13 is a little different. In a Chapter 13, the debtor is basically telling the court they want to keep all of their property, and they're willing to pay back their debts normally over a five-year payment plan. Now, in a Chapter 7, the debtor still has to make their monthly assessment payments even after they file. I want to repeat that. If someone files bankruptcy in a Chapter 7, they still have to pay the condo assessments after they file. If they don't, the association has the right to go into bankruptcy court and ask that bankruptcy judge for what's called relief from the automatic stay so that the association can actually walk across the street and sue that debtor in state court for foreclosure. All right, a little different in Chapter 13. If a debtor wants to file a Chapter 13 and keep their home, they have to file what's called a plan, a Chapter 13 plan with the court, and they have to show the court that they plan to ensure that the association isn't only paid going forward, but now the association is going to get reimbursed for all of their past due assessments as well. And if the debtor fails to do this, again, the association can object to the bankruptcy and ask the court for relief from the stay so they can, again, go back across the street to state court and sue that debtor for a foreclosure. A little complicated, but the bottom line is either way, just because a unit owner files for bankruptcy, it does not mean that the association is powerless to do anything about it. So if you're an association and you find yourself in this uncomfortable situation, give us a call, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze, and find out what the association's rights may be. All right, let's take our first break, and when we get back, we'll pay tribute to our veterans on this Veterans Day. We'll talk about just how bad the difference is between the Florida, how the Florida legislature treats HOAs and condominiums. And, of course, we'll welcome our guests from Alpha Security Services, taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates PA, law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. We are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
All right. Today is November 11th, which means that it is Veterans Day, and we certainly want to stop and honor our veterans today and thank them for their service to this country. Now, a lot of people who really are not sure why we have both a Veterans Day and a Memorial Day confuses a lot of people. So let's explain the difference. Now, I looked this up, and according to the website of the United States Department of Veteran Affairs, Memorial Day is a day for remembering and honoring military personnel who died in the service of their country, particularly those who died in battle or as a result of wounds sustained in battle. While those who died are also remembered, Veterans Day is actually the day set aside to thank and honor all those who served honorably in the military in wartime or peacetime. And again, according to their website, in fact, Veterans Day is largely intended to thank living veterans for their service, to acknowledge that their contributions to our national security are appreciated, and to underscore the fact that all those who served, not only those who died, have sacrificed and done their duty. So again, we honor everyone today.
And there's actually a Veterans Day parade in West Palm Beach at 2 o'clock today, if anyone's interested. We actually had two very interesting proposed constitutional amendments that Floridians voted on this week having to do with our veterans. And the first one had to do with granting an additional property discount on the homesteads of veterans who became disabled as a result of a combat injury, to now include those who were not Florida residents when they entered the military.
Yeah, and that constitutional amendment, all our listeners may know by now, that passed. That actually passed.
And the second proposed constitutional amendment authorizes the legislature to provide either total or partial homestead property tax relief to the surviving spouse of a military veteran who died from service-connected causes while on active duty.
Yeah, and that amendment passed as well, and I believe really, if we take a look, every other proposed constitutional amendment, I think, failed, but the ones that honored our veterans passed, and that certainly shows us how we feel about the people who have so honorably fought for this country. But moving on, let's introduce today's guests, And they are Zev Fragachan and Troy Modlin from Alpha Security Services. Guys, welcome to the show, and thank you both for being a sponsor.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate being here.
All right. Tell us a little bit about what Alpha Security Services does.
Alpha Security Services is a complete one-stop shop for all of your security and safety needs. We provide armed and unarmed manned security, surveillance camera installation, maintenance on those cameras, monitoring of those cameras, roving patrol with police-style vehicles, golf carts, Segways, and even marine patrol. We have our own academy called Alpha Tactical Services. I'm sorry, Alpha Tactical Training Center for Concealed Weapon Permits. We even do our private security and bodyguards. We service all types of condos, homeowner associations, and commercial centers as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I know you guys promote the fact that you have 30 years of both military and law enforcement experience. What does that mean? Tell us a little bit about the military and law enforcement experience you guys have.
Well, Eric, personally, I serve in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, for 7 years. And to give you a fact that, for example, our director of operations was an Army Ranger for 16 years with 2 tours in Afghanistan, 2 tours in Iraq. He used to work 2 years as a police officer in Kentucky and 3 years in DOD in small arms research. Our patrol division manager served 7 years in the Navy, providing security for detainees in Guantanamo Bay. I personally enrich the company a lot by the experience, the combined experience in all our backgrounds has, and we try to apply the knowledge that we receive overseas in the security field, try to pass that to the civilian aspect of security.
So I see. Yeah, you served some time in the Israeli military. So we're talking about you guys sent in like drones to the individual condominium units and Mossad officers going to knock on doors and stuff like that if someone's like walking their dog on the common elements.
That's very funny. But no, we don't go that far. But we try, for example, to introduce new kind of technology and systems and combine that with our human resources.
All right. Well, unfortunately, There's a thought out there. Some people think of security at a condominium, and the thought that comes to mind is a security guard kind of falling asleep in the guard booth. And when you send out your guys to an association, what do you expect from the guards that you actually send to the community associations? I know you made some great suggestions in our newsletter, like foot patrols that should be taking place in the community.
I'm glad you asked that question, Eric. All security recommendations and analysis is like an evaluation of a diamond. They're all unique to each other, but what we expect from all of our security personnel is for them to follow the post orders as provided by that association. Post orders, if you're not familiar, are like the laws of that personnel and guard that must be followed, and these laws are created with the input of the board of directors. Secondly, we expect all personnel to be friendly and get to know as many residents as possible. To greet them professionally is like a hospitality aspect of this service and not vice versa. Thirdly, we expect all personnel to view surveillance cameras on a constant basis when not dealing with residents or guests. In between shifts, during breaks, and before and after breaks, we expect the personnel to walk the property and do a foot patrol for observational purposes as well as a deterrence method. This can also be done in a vehicle that we provide if it is a homeowners association.
All right, so that's great. Obviously, there's more to preventing crime in a condo or an HOA than just manning that guard booth, like we're saying. But how does a security company like yours kind of make sure that the common areas are supervised, the parking lots, the hallways, rather than someone just sitting there at the front desk?
What you basically have to do is you have to have all these monitorings. You have to have video surveillance of this and watch this material with the guards. And it's very proactive on the guards' aspect of this. What we have, what we call a command and control center, not only on site by watching the video, but off site as well, in order to be proactive.
Now, there's even little things that you recommended, I know, in the last newsletter, that everyone who lives in the association should have quick access to the security company's phone number. By, you know, little thing, putting something in your refrigerator. You know, I've lived in condos before. I've never had a security company even suggest that, and I see that's something you guys came out with right off the bat.
Well, we think it's very important for the residents to be as vigilant as possible in contacting their security whenever they witness or have a suspicion about anything or any incident. All law enforcement will tell you not to wait to communicate. Now, there's also a byproduct of having that phone number on the fridge, and that is a sense of security, as which is very important to provide. And it's very hard to put a dollar aspect on that sense of security.
Right. Sure. No, I think it's a great idea. But, you know, we have guests on the show, and I wind up talking to presidents and vice presidents from around the state, and they always say they want more, like you said, than just kind of a passive approach from their security company. They want to take that extra step, and they want help enforcing parking restrictions, issuing violations, and even in some situations, they want help towing cars, you know, when the need arises. Is that something that the Alpha Security can assist the board in these kind of non-traditional type of things?
Well, actually, yes, we do. One of the things that we do at Alpha Security Services is we try to take a more proactive approach to security. To give you an example, and you actually bring the core subject of this. Let's say then you have a huge parking enforcement problem. At Alpha Security Services, what makes us different is that we provide these patrol vehicles with live video, high-resolution video and audio from all our vehicles, plus GPS placement of that vehicle, so we can record, document the violation, and proceed to give that information to our...
I want to come back to that right after the break because I hear the music playing. All right, we're here again with Zev Fragachan and Troy Modlin from Alpha Security Services. We're also taking your calls about anything and everything else going on in the world of condos and HOAs. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. Taking your phone calls. Hello, are you there? 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585.
All right, actually, we got an email for you guys. Robert from Plantation wants to know, what does Alpha recommend doing for a community that has no entrance gate and is not surrounded by fencing or landscaping? How do you keep trespassers out while keeping crime down? In other words, this, you have a community here, no guard gate. What do you do?
Well, basically, the problem with the gate is, or the fence, is that you have to define your borders, the borders of the community, and where you're going to enforce those rules and regulations, and you're going to keep people out. Obviously, in this particular case, the most appropriate thing is first have a reasonable program, a patrol plan in place, also to improve the camera system or the surveillance system that they may have in place in the common areas. The question is to know exactly if they've been having, what kind of problems they've been having. If we're talking about vandalism in common areas, if we're talking about parking enforcement, those are two different things, can be attacked by the same patrol vehicle, but you need to document this.
Yeah, sometimes the problem could be coming from within.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've been in situations like that before, believe me. A lot of times you have, troublemakers living within the community that wind up destroying property. I saw a crazy thing on YouTube the other day where a guy was going around breaking all his neighbor's windows.
So I've seen it where actually wheels and rims have been stolen from within a community.
Yeah.
And more often than not, it actually is related or is within the community, a person that's living there. Another suggestion as well to help document people that are without security inside a with no gate, no guard, no nothing, is to have some type of documentation of the vehicles that are actually in the property, that are actually living on the property for those vehicles, a license plate information, a sticker for the vehicle. That would also be helpful.
Well, before we actually went to the last break, you guys started to talk about something that's important to me. A lot of times people call my office and they say, Eric, you know, this one or that one is breaking the rules. They're parking in the wrong place, or they're committing, you know, one violation or another. And I say, okay, sounds great. What kind of proof do we have that we can bring to court with us? What kind of proof do we have that we can show to an arbitrator or a judge? And oftentimes it's like, we don't have anything. You know, don't you take our word for it? No, not good enough when you go to court or when you go to see an arbitrator. So tell us, what can Alpha do in terms of documenting properly or taking photographs or videos of these violations so that associations can actually use them later on in a court of law or an arbitration proceeding?
Well, the most important is video, pictures, the GPS location of the violation vehicle. Once you have all those three, plus the report from the guard, and you proceed to tow the vehicle, we pass all this information automatically from the vehicle with a redundancy system. Not only this, the information gets recorded inside the vehicle, but also at our offices immediately. And we can then proceed to tow the vehicle. Once the owner of the vehicle show up, or once the violation, the person involved in the violation show up, you can lay the video on the vehicle for them. You can show them the pictures. You can even give him a copy of the report.
So bottom line is you guys are taking videos, you guys are taking photos of the violations, you guys are enforcing the parking. If we need you to come and go to court with us, you're there.
Not only that, I mean, all our video and our pictures got date and timestamp. And if something is important in the video, then we have to know is we place watermark in our video, meaning that every time you make a copy of that video, is a mark, a watermark stamp electronically in the video, it says which number copy is that one. So that's accepted in court.
Gotcha. All right, well, important question. Really, what makes one security company more successful than the others that are out there?
That's an excellent question, Eric. The simple answer is training of the guards, oversight of those guards, middle management of those guards. And then it breaks down into the wages of the guards that you have and the overall communication and the oversight. When a board of directors or management company requests a quote for service, their basic objective is to fill a certain number of hours per guard, per shift, per week. Obviously, there are basic functions this person or persons are responsible for. That said, the board and management receive these proposals, and they can be as much as 30 to 40% difference in price. The question that must be asked is, how much are the guards being paid? Are these unarmed guards being paid $8 an hour and fluent in English, or are they being paid $12 an hour and are multilingual?
Right.
All security guard companies employ from the same pool of prospects. But what makes one security company more successful than another is lack of compromise in its duty to hire the best prospect and supervise its personnel as often as possible. Supervision includes communication and training of the officers as well as feedback as often as possible.
So bottom line, somebody goes out from Alpha to a community, they're going to speak English and they're going to be able to talk with everybody in the community.
Not only that, but we back up this solution by our command and control center solution. And I want to pinpoint that because this is a very important part of our process. We monitor all our operations from a single location. I want you to imagine a room with 12 flat-screen TVs and a bunch of computers where you have live video and audio from all your employees, including your vehicles. You know where your vehicles are, you know what your guards are doing at all time, and the supervisor can call them individually or as a group and redirect resources there. This is not news.
Right.
I'm not inventing the hot water here. Right. We're talking about something that's been in the military for years.
Really? Well, let me ask you this, because you mentioned when a association calls you. I mean, I'm assuming our listeners can call you and you'd go out and you'd provide a free security analysis?
Of course they can. Our security analysis includes placement of surveillance video cameras in unsecured and secured locations, pointing out locations that may be less safe than others, suggestions of what can be done to upgrade the facility itself in regards to safety, such as fences, gates, and locks. The analysis points out the association's security strengths as well as the weaknesses in the facility and how to better protect the residents and the visitors. We have no problem making an appointment and walking the facility with anyone interested. In fact, in one of our past experiences and analysis, we were able to provide the facility with ways that they could relocate existing cameras and save
Really?
The association money from dedicated man service.
So bottom line is, if we get in, the association gets in touch with you, they don't necessarily have to go in with an attitude saying, oh boy, this is going to cost me money. They might have the correct resources that they're just not utilizing them properly.
Bingo.
All right. Well, tell us, well, tell our listeners, I should say, how do they get in touch with you guys? How can they visit your website and give you guys a ring?
AlphaSecurityServices.com. Again, www.alpha with an F, A-L-F-A, SecurityServices.com. Our phone number is 954-809-3333, extension 3. Again, one more time, 954-809-3333, extension 3.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Very much appreciated. And again, anybody wants to get in touch with either Zev or Troy, just go to the website, give them a phone call. And again, thank you both for coming today.
Very, very much appreciated on both of our parts.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, let's take our final break of the hour, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates, PA, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We have the members from Alpha Security here, and as well, we have a call on the line, Sheila from Tamarack, who was at the big meeting on Thursday, the seminar.
How are you, Sheila?
Hi, Eric. Yes, I live in Tamarack. I came with two neighbors and myself down to the Hard Rock, and it was a huge, very huge. I would say, yes, that you probably did have about 200 people there. We were just among the very, very few who were homeowners.
Right.
And therefore, the whole program was geared, because you had 99% of the people, that was geared for condos. So probably around 9 o'clock, we left, and I was disappointed for myself that I wasn't going to learn anything for us. And I was wondering if you are going to perhaps have a meeting that would be geared to homeowners and homeowners associations rather than just people who have condos, because I saw right away it's completely different. I was really interested in, I wanted my sister, I told her to listen, because she has a condo, and it would have been a good idea for her to come, but, you know.
Yeah, Sheila, your telephone call raises a lot of good points, actually great points. Number one, at the end of the seminar, we gave out an informational booklet basically describing what we actually taught during the seminar. And I don't know if you had a chance to look at that, but what it does, it talks about that topic, then it explains the differences as to how condo law treats it and HOA law treats it. Now, we don't do that in our and when we're actually teaching the course here in Hollywood, because, as you said, 98% of the people that show up are actually from condos, so we gear the course here towards condos, but at the end, we give out the information as it also relates to HOAs. When we teach the course in Naples, when we teach the course in Orlando, those areas have far more HOAs actually than they do condominiums. So we also gear the course there. We actually teach HOA law. Now, what's important about your phone call, however, is the fact that you bring out a fantastic point. As of now, only members of a condo board are required to get certified. Members of HOA boards are not. Therefore, the reality is there's less educational opportunities available for HOA board members. Now, you've sat through the course for about 2 hours. I'd like to hear it from you, though. Now that you see that condo members have this ability to learn so much information, do you think it should be required for board members to take such a course? And if it was, would you take it?
Absolutely. This was one of the main things I wanted, and my neighbors wanted to go there specifically so that we could say, hey, listen, Rich, You need to have certification. Hey, listen, whoever you are, I mean, they're making all kind of rules and regulations, and we have a meeting coming up, and they have all kind of things. So far, we haven't even seen that they have a cap on spending.
Right.
I mean, they spent $5,000 for chairs outside, and there's hardly anybody sitting around the pool. It was like, oh, my God, you're taking so much money, and a few people are using the pool, you know, and they can spend now. They want to spend $100,000 on windows and, right. Come on, it's like ridiculous.
The bottom line is, for one reason or another, the Florida legislature treats homeowner associations like the red-headed stepchild. And you can't figure out why. You know, the statute even starts off by saying that it's not a good idea for HOAs to be regulated. So we have a situation where condo board members, yeah, they have to go get certified, and there are lots of educational opportunities available to them. But you don't have the same type of opportunities for HOAs, again, because HOA board members, you don't have to get certified. You know, according to the Florida legislature, it's unimportant, apparently, if HOA board members learn the law. Well, they don't learn the law. They could wing it. So I can tell you unequivocally, one of my goals in the upcoming legislative session is going to be to push very, very hard. And I can tell you we have some legislators who are already behind this movement to require, not only in a condo setting, but to require in an HOA setting, that board members have to get certified, again, in HOAs, just like their brethren for condo
makes
law.
Makes sense.
It obviously makes sense. Again, and I can tell you, Sheila, you're not the first person to come up with this complaint, and it's unfortunate. I appreciate the fact that, you know, you call in and you voice your complaint, because it's a complaint that needs to be directed not so much at this show. It needs to be directed at your legislators. You should pick up the phone and let them know that you believe that HOA board members should absolutely have to get certified, just like condo board members do.
I believe that. But now, then I would need to know who would be the ones that are for that with you, and then I would write them a letter, and
no,
I think
longer
that we
Bogdanoff.
Would get people.
No,
there.
No longer Bogdanoff. That's right. I believe Maria Sachs is now the state senator from your neck of the woods, and I would certainly pick up the phone and give Maria Sachs a call and let her know this is absolutely something that you and the members of your community stand behind and would love to see get passed. Okay?
Because I would be for it 100%, 150%.
I can tell you, not only you, Sheila, but we get calls like that and we get emails like that from around the state repeatedly throughout the year saying, why is it that that condo board members have to get certified, that there's educational opportunities out there for them, that there's a division that actually helps regulate them. In other words, condo members, if you have a problem, you pick up the phone, you can call the DBPR, and there's someone to actually answer your question. There's someone to voice a complaint to. There are people who work there that examine documents that get filed by developers, and if they are not good, they get rejected, and the developer can't build that community. Instead of doing things like that for an HOA, do you know what your Florida legislature did last year? Last year, only one law, only one, was passed in regards to condos and HOAs, and that law was taking away the requirement of a developer to provide warranties in an HOA community when the community is built.
Can you imagine?
So now your roads could flood, your electricity can't work, you know, the house could collapse. Doesn't mean a thing. Just protect the developer at all costs. That's been the focus of the Florida legislature. So again, pick up the phone and let Maria Sachs know, as well as the members in the House district that you're in. Let them know you'd like to see some regulation, you'd like to see some educational opportunities, you'd like to see certification. Okay, Sheila?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Much appreciated. On that note, I hear the music playing in the background. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, to another week of Condo Craze and HOAs. Zev and Troy, thanks for being guests on the show today. And we'll see and talk to everybody again next week. Enjoy Veterans Day.